Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown, and the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Get T.J. Edwards back.
T.J. Edwards, linebacker for the Chicago Bears.
Bears rush four. Rattler almost intercepted the dive from T.J. Edwards.
Really nice job by T.J. Edwards again, reading the eyes, seeing the coverage developing, and where Spencer Rattler wants to go. Watch 53 right here. Checks to the outside to see what the play is. Sees it right there. Reads the quarterback's eyes. Makes the play on the ball.
Hometown kid. Local guy made good.
I know quite a bit about the history and all the great players that have been here before. You know, so many great linebackers that have played. I met Urlacher in his rookie year at like a meet and greet or something like that, and that was special for me and my friends. And then Devin Hester, that first kick return in the Super Bowl will always stick out to me. But you know, family nights and things like that growing up, and been in the stands a lot at Soldier, so it's pretty special for sure.
T.J. Edwards with Mully and Ha.
Oh man, can't wait for this conversation
on 670 The Score.
Mully and Ha, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to T.J. Edwards, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. T.J., how you feeling this morning?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
You know, I wanted to ask you about Dennis Allen and how, you know, he obviously coached the Saints. He's fired last year, roughly a year ago. I think it was right after week 9. And now here he is coaching against his old team, and he downplayed it because he's kind of a, at least publicly, a very kind of low-profile guy and didn't get too worked up about it, said he wanted to talk about the football. And then you see that video of the locker room and Ben Johnson presenting him with the game ball, and you guys played great defense, and he gives a little speech about not wanting to be there, and you know, God has a plan, and you end up with people that you want to work with, and he has this great moment with you guys. What, you know, was that difficult for him all week? Did you get a sense that this game meant something to him before that moment occurred?
Honestly, all week, really didn't get that feeling from him. I was saying this earlier. You know, DA is the type, we could have been playing Libertyville High School, man, and he would have been amped up to go play that game. So it wasn't something that we were, you know, we could feel in that sense. But as a, you know, just from the human and the human aspect, you understand that. I'm sure there's there's some motivation there for sure. A lot of guys, you know, it's been the same for me. There have been other places that they didn't want you, and that's how it goes. So in the business aspect, you understand. And but to go out there and go get four takeaways and you know, play some pretty good defense and, you know, against his former team and things like that, man, it's pretty cool for sure.
TJ, before you came back two games ago, this defense had a hard time stopping the running game. And the past 2 weeks, that's been probably as impressive as anything. And I obviously, you know, you wonder if it's just a personnel thing where Edmonds moves outside, you're in the middle helping everyone get lined up. How would you describe what's changed in the past two games besides your arrival and why you guys have now been better at stopping the run?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like just as a unit, man, you know, again, we kind of started in camp with this scheme, and you know, now it's got some games under our belt where we've kind of got into a little rhythm in a way of how we're supposed to be doing things, kind of the big picture of the scheme of what we're trying to get accomplished, man. And I feel like everyone's kind of getting their own confidence with that. And to be honest, I feel like the defensive line is causing havoc right now. I do. I think our tackles inside with Big Bill and Dexter and Dio and Tez on the outside, I think have done a really good job of just kind of setting that tone early. And now you're getting guys that are rotating in like Dom, who are kind of feeding off that as well. But I feel like that's a unit that's really starting to take off, man. And you see it every single week. And, you know, as a linebacker, when they're playing like that, you love it. Cause then you can just get to go out there and read the quarterback and go make some plays. So, but I feel like, you know, the past 2 weeks, those guys have been really vital to kind of what's been going on, man.
There have been some really big moments. I mean, you know, you mentioned the takeaways. To get 15 takeaways during this four-game winning streak is remarkable. It's just an exceptional performance. You lead the NFL with 16 takeaways thus far this season. I heard Kevin Byard say you're hoping to get to 30 by the end of the year. Well, you're ahead of that pace. I mean, you may get more. How do you get that many takeaways? How does it, you know, we always hear this idea that they come in bunches, but they're coming in different ways. How do you describe what's happening?
Yeah, they do come in bunches for sure. But I feel like it's one of those things where especially when you kind of see it happen, it really just gives you the confidence, man, of just wanting to go out there and make those plays. You know, and again, it starts up front for us. It starts with the defensive line. And you see now kind of with these forced fumbles that we're starting to get from them, of them just kind of being active. And I think everyone's starting to get upset with the DBs for getting all the takeaways. So we're trying to join in on this, man. But, but yeah, man, it's been fun. And I think it's one of those things that has to continue for, you know, for where we want to go as a team and as a defense, man. If, you know, that's something we want to take pride on, we got to do it every single week. So excited to get back to it this week, too.
All right, TJ, you grew up here. You understand the fan base. You know the city. You start 4-2, people get excited. You started 4-2 last year, and people got excited. What's the difference this year from last year?
I don't know. I can't really, you know, think too much about the difference between last year and this year. I do know how this city works, and I do know, you know, the excitement that's around it right now. But for us, man, it's 1 week at a time. I think we've done such a good job of kind of keeping our process the same, and I think Coach Johnson's been really key on that, and kind of just keeping everything in house and what we're trying to do, and also keeping our heads where they need to be, man. And again, we also know that we haven't played perfect, so I don't think there's any type of we've arrived type thing in this building. And you know, this is a team, I feel like, in general, in all three phases, that we could be so much better in ways. And I think we want to get to that more than anything. And I think we know once we get to that aspect, we'll be hard to stop and hard to beat. So that's kind of the chase for us right now.
This segment with TJ Edwards is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833 Plum 911. Have you guys taken to Dennis Allen? In other words, you know, you hear Ben Johnson talk about buy-ins and everyone's buying in. Do you feel like there is a buy-in? Do you feel like he's helping you guys play better football?
Yeah, absolutely. Dennis Allen, his expectations, they don't change, man. No matter who he's talking to, he's going to coach, you know, Grady Jarrett as hard as he coaches a rookie, you know, and it's just that's something you can appreciate. He really does that every single day, you know, and as a player and as a man, you can respect someone who kind of shows up and goes about his business no matter what's going on. And he kind of keeps those expectations the same, but you know, he's constant energy. He's going to let you know when you're not doing something right, and he's going to let you know when you did something well. So, and kind of like I said earlier, man, it doesn't matter what's going on or who we're playing. He's going to show up and expect to go dominate. So, as a guy on the team, and especially on defense, when you like someone who just wants to be aggressive, you definitely respect that for sure.
All the takeaways, I think they're great to point out and talk about. They almost overshadow some of the other statistical things that you guys have accomplished. You're third in the league defensively on third downs and getting off the field in terms of the percentage. And I think third downs are different than the others. How much pride do you take in that? And what do you think is the different approach on third down for you guys?
Yeah, third downs, I feel like, have been a strong suit for us for sure. And as you guys know, man, that's a first and second down stat. You know, if you can get teams in those positions where it's third and long, that means you're doing something right, and you're playing good team defense. Especially kind of now, this is a four down league, so you know, being able to stop teams on third and long and kind of keeping them there has been something that I think we've done really, really good job of. And again, I think that starts up front, man. It starts with our D line going to do what they do. And then in the back end, just kind of, I think throughout the week, our process of kind of how we're getting through routes and what we're trying to get accomplished has been really good, man. And that's when the takeaways have shown up too.
You guys now go to Baltimore. They are a team that has been a disappointment up to this point. They're coming off a bye week. They should have Lamar Jackson, the former league MVP, back. You look at them, and I think the opening line has you guys far from favored. I believe you're 6.5-point dogs, and I don't know if you care about any of that stuff, but it's not kind of the most respectful way of positioning you, but I just wonder, how difficult is it to go on the road? How difficult is it to win a fifth consecutive game in the NFL? It just seems like there's a lot that you're going to have to deal with this week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot to deal with every week, so this isn't anything different. But obviously, it's a really good football team. No matter what their record is, this has been a team that's, you know, been Super Bowl contenders and things like that for the past year. So we're excited though, man. That's where we're at. We're excited. Kind of like I said earlier, we haven't played our best football yet, and I think that's the chase that we're trying to get to right now. And you know, we do that, we can compete with anybody. So I think at this point, you know, we're excited to get out there. I never played out there either, so I'm excited just to kind of get to Baltimore. Never really been out there, see what's going on, and try to go get this next one. That's what we want to do. We want to keep this streak going for sure.
All right, so yes, sir, take us through this. It's third and 20, and Rattler completes a short pass to Taysom Hill, who then turns and throws a lateral to Kamara, and it looked like it was a challenge and a successful challenge, but in that play, what was going through your head, and how difficult can that be to defend?
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, you tip your hat to that. It was a really good play to kind of what we were doing. And, you know, the underneath throw, I could tell there was something more to it. I just didn't think it was going to be a backwards lateral to the opposite flat, you know. So they definitely kind of saw something and made a really good play on it. But, as you know, again, we call those long foul balls, man. You know, it didn't matter. So we'll keep going to the next one.
Yeah, that I mean, it looked like 33 yards, something like that. I mean, they would have converted that thing, and that totally changed the game. And it was weird because they kind of threw a flag, then they picked it up, then the challenge happens and it's reversed. It was just, it's just odd when you see a play like that unfold.
Absolutely, yeah.
Emotionally, this defense looks like it feeds off of certain guys at times, and that's obviously from a fan or media perspective, but Jaquan Brisker seems to be one of those guys. He's an energy guy. He's a juice guy. And when he's going and when he's playing at a high level, it seems like this is a different defense. How important has he been? Because this was yesterday. He played in the sixth game, and last year he didn't get that far because of the concussion issue that knocked him out the rest of the year. But this seems like this secondary can do what it wants to do when he's in the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Brisk has just been constant energy, like you see. I mean, that's a physical dude, a physical guy playing safety, flying in, and you know, sometimes just reckless as hell. But you need that. You need a guy like that who really has no fear in that sense. But I think he's playing really good football right now. I think just before we go on the field, you know, we're all talking and things like that, and he's always out there just kind of chirping and you know, getting everyone ready, hitting people in the pad, just making sure that our energy kind of stays up. And you really need that throughout the game, and guys definitely kind of gravitate towards that. And then you see him out there, you know, running people over and making, you know, sacks and things like that. He's playing really good football right now, for sure.
How upset was Andrew Billings when he was called for holding? And then, like, 2 minutes later, he's clearly being held on a play. That must have been very kind of
And what's he like when he gets upset?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's interesting when they always call them defensive linemen. I feel like they get held every single play. And, you know, so it's a tough call. But that's how it goes. I actually was me and Big Bill have a pretty good relationship. I was talking to him after the game. He's like, how was it? I was like, man, I felt like I was pretty clean most of the day. I was like, so clean, you got a holding penalty, man. You don't have to do all that just to keep us clean, man. You're all right. But no, he's, you know, again, another guy who's just an anchor for our team. And I also think right now he's playing really kind of finding his footing in this scheme and playing some really good ball.
TJ, how would you describe the dynamic between the defense and the offense on a game like yesterday? Clearly, the offense, which has carried its weight so far this season, was struggling, and the passing game wasn't clicking, and you know, there just didn't seem to be in sync, and it was a day where the defense comes up with the four turnovers, with stops, it comes up with the four sacks and the 44 rushing yards. What is it about? Do you have conversations with the offense? Do you sense that's coming? Is it going to be one of those days? What's that like on the sidelines?
Yeah, man, I feel like it's a pretty close-knit team, to be honest with you. So there's no pointing fingers. There's none of that. I think, again, man, there's going to be days like that where as a defense we need to be picked up at times. And but we got so much confidence in them. And honestly, you know, they kind of showed it with going and icing the game at the end, you know, finishing that long drive off, going to get that fourth down and, you know, not giving the ball back, right? So I even think throughout some of the, you know, things that didn't go right, there's still so many things they did well. But I know, again, man, I know walking into this building later today, we're going to be, you know, correcting those things to make sure we can go play our best ball. But we got so much confidence in them. And I think, you know, Caleb has just taken so many strides this year and shown kind of, you know, where this team and where this offense is going in general, man. So I'm excited.
What has been the greatest difference of the run defense from the first month of the season to what you guys have done since the bye week? Was it, I mean, you held them to next to nothing. I think Alvin Kamara was once a great player in the league. The Saints had 44 yards rushing yesterday. I mean, that's got to be difficult for Kamara to get 2.5 a carry. You guys were all over him.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely starts with an attitude in that way, right? And especially knowing if we want to go and try to get these takeaways, and if we want to go and try to be aggressive on third down and do these things that we want to do, we got to stop the run. You know, we got to be able to get teams to these longer down and distances, and it starts with running the ball. You know, and I think we had a couple games that gashed us, and you know, as a especially, you know, linebackers and defensive line, you know, we take pride in that. being able to do that. So, again, it's a week to week thing, right? We're going to go, we got a really good run group. We got to go stop this week too. So, it's something that's, again, got to be at the top priority for us so that we can go affect the game on the third down.
TJ, a lot of people say the difference is you, that your return has keyed this great run defense. Do you feel that way yourself? Are you complimented by that idea?
I mean, for me, man, I'm trying to come in and do the best job that I can. You know, being in the middle now and just, you know, kind of orchestrating everything, I want to make sure we're all on the same page and everyone's understanding what we're trying to get done, man. And at the end of the day, go make some plays. I'm kicking myself from the two head drops. So I'm gonna get back to work and go make those.
You referenced it casually, but you going back to the middle, how big of a difference does that make from a comfort level? And whose idea was it? Did you push for that? Did you think that that was something that you felt like was important to this defense?
I mean, honestly, we both, Terrain and I, going into the season, we didn't really, they kind of had us doing both during camp and things like that. So we were kind of comfortable with either. And I was playing well, but then once I got hurt, you know, Noah Sewell came in and has been our mic, and he's done a great job. And Terrain was slid over to Will. So, you know, once I came back, it kind of just made sense to make that switch, I think. And, you know, we kind of just been rolling with that. And, you know, I think Noah's been honestly really, really good with that, with just me and him talking about what we're seeing. And obviously Terrain's been a mic here for the past couple of years. But, you know, I've played mic most of my career. So really it feels natural. And it feels like I'm coming back. So it's, I don't know, man, it's been a good transition, but it's also a thing to where, you know, there's a lot going on, and Terrain and I have played together for some time now, so we're both kind of understanding what we're trying to get done, and it's really like two Mike linebackers out there.
Great stuff, TJ. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, TJ.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
That is TJ Edwards.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Olin Krutz, Score football analyst.
Bias towards offensive line. By that I mean find you an excuse of why an offensive lineman missed the block or why their job is hard.
Chicago Bears legend, 6-time Pro Bowl center.
You talk about one of the greatest leaders I've ever been around. From football to the weight room to life, now he's in radio and he has the same passion.
Olin Krutz, every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. Always fun to talk to Olin Krutz, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Olin, good morning. How you doing today?
Good morning, guys. Doing good. This 4-game win streak got me feeling good, enjoying the wins. That's first time since 2018. Bears are back to the takeaways and running the football, which I know very well.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I didn't know that they could run the ball like that. They did a phenomenal job, and it was a two-pronged attack, and you got two running backs involved. We even saw Roschon have a carry, kind of amazing. You look at what they managed to achieve yesterday, and you know, obviously there wasn't a great amount of success in the passing game, but man, they went to that bye week and they had to figure out how to stop the run and how to run the football, and they did both of those things yesterday, and not easy to win, not easy to stack wins, and they managed to do so.
Yeah, they did it really well also, right? They really got after the New Orleans Saints up front. And the New Orleans Saints obviously respect Caleb Williams and Coach Ben Johnson's pass game and the receivers. You know, Brandon Staley played a lot of deep zone yesterday, kept the box light, dared the Bears to run the ball, and it's exactly what they did, right? They ran the ball at New Orleans, and they ran it for a lot of yards. And like you're talking about, went to the bye week. We all wonder what was wrong with this run game with the offensive linemen that they signed. And Coach Ben Johnson and Eric Bieniemy, the running back coach, and Dan Roschar, the offensive line coach, and Jim Dre, the tight end coach, all got together in a room, and they fixed that thing, man. They've asked the players to do what they do well. The running backs are running downhill. They're getting a lot of yards after Nashawn Wright's interception. He's ran the ball right into the end zone. So fun to watch them run the football, like you're talking about, looking a little more, obviously, from the pass game, from Caleb Williams. We like to see a lot more points when you have 15 takeaways. But to win four games in a row in the NFL, to go on this kind of win streak with a first-year head coach, with guys all learning a new system, it's been fun to watch them fix a few things. And like you guys know, when you go put a lot of energy into fixing something, usually you're ignoring something else, and it's the things that you think that are fixing the NFL that usually gets broken. So nothing's ever fixed. Sometimes you spend a little too much time on one area. You got to go back and concentrate on the other area and make those guys uncomfortable now and say, look, we got to fix the pass game and get more points now out of the pass game. But guys, when you watch it, man, I mean, the New Orleans Saints are playing a lot of deep zone. They are taking away the deep pass, and they're daring the Bears to run the football, and it's exactly what the Chicago Bears did.
And they did it with two running backs, which I think is interesting, Olin, because you look at what's changed about the Bears' running game or rushing attack in the last couple of weeks. They had 222 rushing yards yesterday, and certainly it was a second start for Theo Benedict. I don't know if that's the factor, but I do think that Kyle Manungai contributing 81 rushing yards as a seventh-round draft pick, you didn't know quite what you had. Ben Johnson said he trusted him, and here he is making meaningful contributions six games in. How surprised are you by him?
Not at all. I got to watch him at Rutgers last year versus the University of Illinois. Got to watch some film on Kyle Manungai. Was surprised he was there in the seventh round. Obviously, maybe his measurables, you know, and the things that, you know, maybe his 40 time or whatever else it may be. But he ran like that at Rutgers. He was dangerous there. Came downhill, ran guys over in between the tackle. Tough football player. What I'm watching him do right now is what he did all through college. So not surprised by it. I think he'll get rolling as we go on here. Obviously, pass pro for a rookie is something you have to learn. So I'm sure Coach Bieniemy was working hard on that with him. Now they're starting to trust him, get him out there even on passing situations, have him do all the little things, all the adjustments you need to make while you work with the offensive line and the quarterback on protecting the quarterback in pass plays is probably why what he had to learn before they started giving him the ball a little more and keeping him out there a little more during the game. But I'm sure you watched him too, David. I'm sure you saw him, Mully. If you saw him in college, you're not overly surprised about what he's doing right now. I think probably the only question was coming out was, could he stay healthy? Would his running style, how physical he plays, how downhill he plays with his size? And if he can figure that out, I think he'll be a very productive back in the NFL.
This segment with Olin Krutz is sponsored by Busey Bank. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. And Olin, we talked a little bit on the post game about the center snap, the exchange between Drew Dahlman, the center, and Caleb Williams, the quarterback. And I just think that both guys tried to take responsibility for it in the post game. Dahlman said flat out that it was all on him. And Caleb then heard that and said, no, I've got to take some responsibility on that. What did you see when you went back and watched it?
The first thing I saw was four false start penalties and three bad snaps, which are all about the same, right, when you're double clutching the ball. So struggling a little bit with the cadence. They like to roll the cadence, then send guys in motion and do what they like to call on the quick, right? So it's, Red 80 said, hut, send somebody in motion, try to time up that motion and say, set up real fast and get the ball. And their timing was off yesterday. I know a lot of people like to say this, even in Pop Warner, right, that the snap is just – even Pop Warner kids do snaps, but Pop Warner kids don't have to back block a 300-pound nose guard, right, or go one-on-one with somebody. So the timing of the snap is really important. Not as easy as everybody likes to make it out to be. I'm here to tell you guys that. But something you have to get done, obviously, on the pro level. There are – when you're trying to time it up, when you're trying to make your block, it looks like he was just double clutching it on the cadence. Something is still, what is this, their sixth or seventh game that they're in right now, not even halfway through their first season together, a second-year quarterback, who, if you think about Caleb Williams, probably never used the cadence coming into the NFL, right? Probably did a lot of clapping out there in college and in high school. So working on the cadence, and then it's a new cadence from Ben Johnson and his staff this year, and a new center. So there are things that they are working on, things that obviously they do have to get fixed. You don't want that, especially on, they went for it on that fourth down there, right? When they were trying to get it near the goal line, I think they're on the 1.5 yard line. They're about to run God's play of power to try to get it into the end zone, and they double clutch it there. And, I think Moose Johnson, he wanted the ball to go to Saints and because he thought they made a mistake there, but can't have those penalties in that critical time. But they had four other false starts. They had one other bad shotgun snap. They had two double clutch snaps. As you guys know, that is way too many there in the NFL. It wasn't like they changed quarterbacks. It wasn't like they changed cadences. So they are trying to time up motion a little bit more, try to roll cadences and things like that. So it's just quarterbacks got to keep the cadence consistent, and the center has to hold in there, and they all just have to work together. Just like you can't have false starts, can't have double clutch on snaps. All those things are just a little too much again going into this week. And we thought about that earlier in the season where there's just too many mistakes, pre-snap penalties, and they showed up again in this game, and obviously the takeaway saved you a little bit, but those things will be a problem when you play the better football teams.
Holden, I don't think we watch every snap of every game the way that we do the Bears, but why doesn't this happen more, or why does it seem to happen more to the Bears than other teams that you watch? You don't see other young quarterbacks struggling with cadence or a new offensive line struggling as much as it seems like the Bears do with this one issue. And I think it's getting in the way of a lot of good things happening for their passing game, for their quarterback, for their offense.
David, I think you're right. You don't watch other teams as much as you watch the Bears, because it does happen all over the NFL, right? It does happen. These kind of snap problems do happen with young quarterbacks, especially when you change quarterbacks. Quarterbacks go in and out. Now, they didn't change the quarterback. That was what was interesting about yesterday with all the problems they have. But they need to get that fixed. Obviously, we have a new center coming into this year, a new quarterback. This does happen a lot. If you watch, I watch a lot of center play. It does happen a lot around the NFL. Every team feels like it's only them that is happening to with these snap and cadence issues and things like you saw from the Chicago Bears yesterday. But that doesn't mean that they don't have to get it fixed, that there won't be extra work. The problem with center quarterback exchange is obviously you go out there pre-practice, right? And this was always my argument with coaches and people who I talk to about the center quarterback exchange. Pre-practice, the center quarterback are getting snaps. Everyone knows that. Quarterback has his chin strap unbuckled. He's talking to people. He's having a good time, right? After practice, center quarterback, go get more snaps. That has nothing to do with when it's full speed in a game, trying to time motion, trying to block a 330-pound nose guard, trying to go one-on-one, trying to get off the ball, trying to displace somebody. You saw yesterday on the fourth down stop, right? Billings takes McCoy, one of the better centers in the NFL, and shoves him into the running back, right? When there's a 350-pound man trying to blow your face off on a short yardage situation, the snap gets a little more hard. But that doesn't mean that you can't get it done. That's why you get paid the big bucks. That's why you get the money. That's why people want to get the snap. But I am here to tell you, the former center who played 180 games in the NFL, that when you talk about, wow, this has just got to get it done to get down to Pop Warner level, you have no idea what you're talking about.
I think I want you to expand a little bit on what you said yesterday, what you said earlier about Brandon Staley, the former Bears assistant to Vic Fangio back in the day. Wound up as a Chargers head coach. Just curious, when you talk about him and how he was aware of the Ben Johnson passing game and of Caleb and how that impacted the game plan. In other words, you know, people are operating under the conclusion that this was the worst game that that Caleb Williams has played for the Bears, certainly this year, and he didn't play particularly well and didn't complete a lot of passes. But the respect they have for the passing game is what led to some of the running stuff. At least that's what you said yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. And when you watch the film, that holds true, right? They're not loading the box, we like to say, where they walk. All their safeties down or put an extra big guy in the game, go to regular defense, put an extra D-tap in the game. They stayed in nickel defense. They went to the nickel back. Even when they went regular, put an extra linebacker in the game, they were still playing coverage behind it, zone coverage. Not a ton of run blitzes from Staley yesterday. Not a lot of movement by the defensive line to try to stop the run because, look, guys, when the Bears, Chicago Bears do line up, you guys have seen Caleb Williams throw the football. You've seen the arm he has. You guys know what DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, DeAndre Swift, Luther Burden, Zaccheaus, Pokemet, Colson Loveland. You know what those guys are capable of, and so does Brandon Staley, right? So does Staley, and they play zone behind it, and you guys know Fangio and a two-high look and a cover four and the things everybody's been talking about for years. But people do respect what Caleb Williams can do and what he's capable of with that arm and the weapons that they have, which leaves you what we call in the NFL a light box, right? When it's a lot of times when I play with, you know, backup quarterbacks or quarterbacks that were struggling, you would look up and you would think every play was short yardage, right? Where everybody was in the box. Nobody respected your pass game. Nobody respected the receivers that you had on your roster, and they were just loading the box. We used to always say the next time we see a light box will be the first time, right? So you look at guys like Mahomes Peyton Manning played for the Colts. They always looked at what I called a light box, where you had a man for a man, right? And guys weren't moving a lot because they were worried about the pass game. So we did see some of that yesterday. That doesn't mean that Caleb Williams doesn't have to complete more passes. It doesn't mean that he wasn't off yesterday a little bit, which he was. It doesn't mean that, you know, there wasn't a drop ball that Madunze's drop ball pops in my mind, but that is the run game is also because the Bears do have weapons. The Bears do have Caleb Williams. The Bears do have Ben Johnson, and a lot of respect from the other sideline from Coach Staley with the defense I saw them playing yesterday on the back end.
What element of the Bears defense, which leads the NFL in takeaways through six games, what part of that unit has surprised you the most?
But I'm surprised at the way the level the secondary does play at, right? And by the secondary, I mean the cornerbacks, the safeties, and in pass coverage, the linebackers. When they lost their best football player, the guy I thought was the best football player on the Chicago Bears, and Jalen Johnson, right? They lose him. Tyrae Stevenson even goes down in the second half yesterday. And they continue to cover people. They continue to make it hard on quarterbacks now. Why Rattler on first and 10 would roll out and throw the ball up to Byard is by, you know, that's not my business, right? That's the guy who's calling into the radio show for the Saints today. So, but the back end, like even on Montez Sweat's sack fumble, right? It was pretty much a covered sack. But I don't think he got there to about 4 or 5 seconds. Second play of the game, again, second and short. Rattlers run around that pocket. Billings pushes Penning, the left guard, all the way back, flushes him out. But he stood back there for a good 3 or 4 seconds and didn't see anybody open, right? And, you know, Nashawn Wright is new out there. I know they got Brisker and Byard, but Tyreek Stevenson, you know, no one was excited about him coming into the year, right, David? So that secondary, Al Harris, his unit, very interesting to watch them cover all on the same page. T.J. Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds doing a nice job back there because I thought when Jalen Johnson went out, I said, man, this is going to be a problem now covering people this year, right? Covering guys, keeping guys covered. And, you know, obviously late in the half, Olave does get open. But other than that, I've just been really surprised with this run they've had without what I would have considered one of the, if not the best, one of their best football players on their roster.
I'm curious, Olden, when we look at, I understand that Las Vegas is setting betting lines to try to have even amounts of money bet on each team, and it's done differently. But when we see that the Bears, in the midst of a 4-game winning streak, are 6.5-point underdogs next week in the opening line at Baltimore, Is that about the respect that people in the world have for Baltimore? Is that about the past with the Bears, or is that taking into account anything that happened over the weekend?
No, I say into account this whole run, right? Where you have 15 takeaways. Like, I mean, is that unheard of? I don't know. Like, when does someone get 15 takeaways in four games and then only win two games by 1 point, right? So Vegas knows what they're doing. I'm watching the film also. Are the Bears as good on film as this run they've had? Probably not, right? But they found ways to win football games, and you got to give them credit for that. But when you go man for man, roster for roster, coaching staff for coaching staff, and put them in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson, Roquan Smith, and Ronnie Stallion, their left tackle, coming back, right? Three all pros inserted into that Baltimore roster, belief in Baltimore. But here's a great chance for the Chicago Bears to show people that, even like me, that they are better than they think they are, right? That, like, there's a little bit of luck going on here in these wins, a little bit of ball popping their way, and the ball just keeps popping out, and they keep getting it to the point where I'm on my couch laughing, right? Holy moly, there's another one, right? I think Byard said after the game yesterday, like, he's never even been a part of something, a run like this, right? Where there's 15 takeaways, and I think they're getting 3.75 right now. Like, listen, don't trust my math, right? I don't know. Make sure you figure that out yourself. But 3.75 takeaways a game in this run. I think they're most likely, I didn't look yet this morning, but they're leading the league in turnover differential, right? It's something to watch right now. So that's what Vegas knows. Can it continue? That I don't know, right? The run defense was the worst in the league just 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's looked a lot better, obviously. The run game has come alive. The pass game, we got to get it going again, find some points out there, especially after takeaways. But no, I think, Mully, you know the answer to that question. If you've been watching, and you have been watching the Bears the last 4 weeks, you know, especially when you get, I think they were +3 and +4 in two games against the Raiders and the Commanders and only won by 1 point, which is also unheard of.
Oh, and quickly, the Bears defense seemed inspired by the fact that Dennis Allen was going against a team that fired him last year. And we saw the emotion post-game in what Ben Johnson presenting him the game ball. How common or uncommon is that in your experience in the NFL?
Really common, man. I mean, you get fired from a team. A team doesn't want you. I remember, you know, Jerry Angelo then moved on, and the Bears moved on from me, you know, in 2011. I went down to the Saints. The Bears walked on the field. It was an emotional day to play your team and to play against people that in your mind, right, we all create these monsters in our mind to keep ourselves going, to keep that huge chip that I always have on my shoulder anyway, but to keep yourself going, motivated. But they walk on the field, and here's a team that didn't think you were good enough to do the job that you were doing in that building. You get the chance to go against them. So obviously an emotional day for Dennis Allen. He said all the right things, and he seems like that kind of guy who's always going to say the right things at the podium, but I'm sure behind closed doors, important game for him, right? And his guys respond to that and played for him, and they seem to really, really have bought in to what he's selling. And when you watch the film, man, you see why, because the positions he puts his defense in to make plays, the calls he makes, he gives guys a chance to have great years like Kevin Byard is having, or Montez Sweat's resurgence, or Billy's, or Tremaine Edmonds. So they move Tremaine Edmonds' position. He's been on a tear since then, right? So a guy like that who puts you in positions to make plays, to get your career going back on the right path, you buy into that. And then he got fired by this team. Let's go out there and kick their butt.
Great stuff, Olin. Thank you. Always fun.
Thanks, Olin. Guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen. listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
All right.
Anthony Herron, Score football analyst.
Your hope is that your best pass rushers are going to be the guys who more consistently rush the passer, the defensive linemen. But Kyler Gordon as a blitzer, Jaquan Brisker as a blitzer, TJ Edwards as a blitzer, these are guys who have a really innate feel for timing up the snap count of the opposing offense.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Anthony Herron receives credit for it. Tenacious job by Anthony Herron, number 99.
Mr. Herron, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
Big and Herron on 670 The Score.
Raheemy, Harris, and Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Layla has the day off today. We are talking about a Bears win. Bears 26, Saints 14. The Bears are 4-2. They have won 4 in a row, and they are staring down the Baltimore Ravens this Sunday. And then it'll be Cincinnati after that. And now joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is Anthony Herron, CircaLasVegas.com. He does all the things. He works for us here at The Score, Fox 32, the Big Ten Network. And Anthony Herron is also sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing officials, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. What up, Big Ant?
So, fellas, have you allowed yourself in the midst of this four-game win streak to bask in it, to enjoy it, or do your brains immediately go to the, oh, but, yeah, but? Like, where are you at on that scale?
No. I am fully enjoying it. I understand how rare it is for a team, specifically this organization, to be able to say we've won four in a row and there might be more wins on the runway before we truly take off. And when I say truly take off, it's funny, Ant. We're getting a lot of texts on the text line about how we're being negative, talking about Caleb and that these things are correctable. I was like, yeah, what do you think I've been saying this whole time? I said, Ben Johnson, first of all, let's start with this. My whole thesis for this entire season. First of all, I have COE, Caleb over everything. That's the most important thing on the docket right now. I have full confidence that Ben Johnson can bring the best out of Caleb Williams and that it's going to take time. The quarterback we see in December is not the quarterback we're seeing right now, and that's how it should be. Also, it's not linear, so I don't expect every week to take this big step forward. So I'm completely fine with where the Bears are now. To be honest, I'm just surprised they're picking up as many dubs as they are as they try to sort things out.
And I want to have the Caleb conversation as well, but the big picture aspect of it fascinates me a little bit because we're in a place in the city as a Chicago sports fandom, and I was addressing this a bit on the post-post show yesterday, where I do hope that folks can allow themselves to enjoy the experience of where we're at with the Bears right now. Like, the Cubs had a strong finish to the season, to make the playoffs, win a series. That's kind of fun until it wasn't fun anymore. And now on the heels of that, now you do have the Bears continuing to win games while very obvious and glaring sort of deficiencies are there that feel like they can continue to improve upon them. And part of the reason is that we do have tangible evidence that this is a coaching staff and a roster capable of making in-season adjustments and improving. And so that there should be not only the current enjoyment of a four-game win streak, which we haven't seen since 2018, but then also the hopefulness that comes from some of the results that we're starting to see, not just the wins and losses aspect of it, but also the fact that we're seeing ways that they've improved the run game on offense, the run defense, taking the rock away. And those are things that should indicate this is a coaching staff that can make the necessary adjustments to get this thing moving forward. And it puts me, I'm not there yet. I'm not here yet, but if this continues, if the wins continue, and of course, we're all going to be hopeful that Caleb becomes one of the best QBs in sport and shows it consistently. But beyond the Caleb over everything, I think there will come a point during the season if the Bears continue to win at a high level. And I had a call on the post-post show predict 7-2 looking at the next few games. Mm. I'm not in a position to presume that yet. But if that's the direction this heads, then Caleb over everything doesn't make as much sense as how can this 2025 version of the Bears maximize the playoff possibilities and the division possibilities that are there, whether or not Caleb looks elite as a passer. Again, we're not there yet, but there's a version of this that could head in that direction if they continue to win, whether or not he's playing and passing at a really high level.
Yeah, and that's important, and you're right. You should. Bears fans, everybody in this room, absolutely enjoy the experience. It's a blast in this town when the Bears are winning. And they have won four in a row, but you should also be greedy because you know where the letdowns have been. And here's the thing. Here's the thing, Big Ant. My opinion on Caleb Williams, unlike Justin Fields, for Justin Fields, it got to a point for me where I was like, I don't think that this is fixable. I don't see this getting better. With Caleb Williams, with the problems that he has had, and one of the things that he's talked about is his struggling to throw on the run. Just one example. Those are fixable things. Accuracy, which he had in college, I believe that that is a fixable thing. So one of my thesis statements, other than I want to see him get better, is that I think these things are fixable with Caleb Williams, and he could still be a really good, maybe even a great quarterback. Do you agree?
I do. And to Caleb specifically, yesterday's game to me was the first time I left my evaluation of the game and said that Caleb played greedy. That was the word as I'm taking notes throughout the game and just sort of evaluating how he operated throughout. It was the game where, to me, for the most part, it looked more like the college version of Caleb than we'd seen at any point this season, and even comparison with some of the games last year. Caleb seemed to be, you know, operating from a perspective of like being the big game hunter, looking for that moment to pass up on checkdowns and scramble around looking for a chunk play or a touchdown opportunity, where it didn't necessarily seem like that's what the coverage indicated or that's what the moment in the game situation indicated he should be going for. And what encourages me is that we're six games into the season, and through my lens, it's the first time we've seen Caleb go to that mode. He certainly has been there more frequently at other points in his football development. So I find that to be an encouraging thing, and to your point, Groats, a very fixable thing, because there have been five examples prior to this where I don't think we've seen Caleb sort of scramble around and evacuate the pocket as frequently as we did yesterday. Now, he's got a new left tackle, and frankly, his left tackle still hasn't blocked Chase Young in pass protection. Like, Theo Benedict had a rough day in pass pro. But a lot of people struggle against a healthy Chase Young in pass protection. So is that a factor? Just, you know, a new left tackle, is he getting more comfortable with that? There were the QB center exchange issues. Spencer Rattler on the opposing sideline, his old, you know, teammate, he took his job. They apparently don't get along that great. I don't know what that was or where it came from, but that was, to me, the first time I watched Caleb play this season. It's all right. He's trying to do too much. I think the first five games of this year, we saw a version of Caleb that was at least trying to stay within the confines of the play design and then was decisive. Decisive as a passer, and if it wasn't there, he was decisive as a runner. We saw the least decisive version of Caleb yesterday.
So we had several texts on this subject specifically. One of them, 508, Caleb's biggest flaw is he's enamored with the explosive play. If when taking the lesser open completion comes second nature, then he will become elite. That was from Dave in Albuquerque. Look, I agree with that sentiment. And I think, as you said, we haven't seen it yet. But here's what's the beautiful part about this. Ben Johnson, I don't know if you heard him at halftime in his halftime interview, talked about the fact that the passing game was not good. It had not been good up to that point. And obviously, we saw what happened in the second half. Ben Johnson's ability to reel this in, I think this is what's going to be the difference in Caleb's development compared to maybe if somebody else was the head coach.
And Caleb even said himself post-game that these are the types of games, I don't know if he said the term necessary, but he indicated that that result from yesterday will be beneficial, will be positive, will be used as fuel to learn from and grow from. And it feels to me like very early, you know, a season and not even a half yet into his time in the NFL, we've seen evidence that Caleb is willing to learn and grow from circumstances like that. And it's great to be able to learn and grow from victory, from a position of strength, essentially being at 4-2, having won the last four games. And I think that for Caleb himself to be able to go back to that film with JT Barrett and with Ben Johnson and see things that he had already been doing earlier in the season, to take the check down, to take your profit, to keep the offense in rhythm and on time. It's not like we haven't seen him being capable of that before. And from my estimation, because there's so much volume to the Ben Johnson offense and playbook, this version of Caleb and others, like Drew Dahlman, really looks like he's thinking a lot to me too. Mm-hmm. Caleb's not the only one who a lot of this is so new to, and the detail and minutia that's necessary to execute this at a high level. Ben Johnson keeps telling us over and over again, we're going to be the best version of ourselves in December and January. So, you know, month and a half from now, the best teams in the sport are going to be playing their best football once they get to that point in the season. And once we get to the point where Caleb is thinking less and just in rhythm and fluidly reacting more, that's where the accuracy should return to the point Gross was making a moment ago. To me, a quarterback who's thinking is where the accuracy diminishes a bit, because you're not playing and feeling free. You're reacting more. And Caleb has still made a bunch of plays this season and been very productive in those first five games, while still obviously having to think his way through so much of this as he continues to consume Ben Johnson's offense.
And nobody is more aware of all that, seemingly. Like I said, I think a light went on for Caleb Williams than Caleb Williams offering to us some of the flaws. And again, I'm going to read these two like small quotes from Caleb saying, if we get this figured out on my side, we'll be putting up a lot of points and we'll be dangerous. Another one, once we figure it out, it's going to be real devastating for the other side. So he gets it. And this segment with Anthony Heron is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. His best friend the last couple of weeks on this roster has been DeAndre Swift, and moreover, Ben Johnson, because you got to give him a lot of credit for what has gone on with DeAndre Swift, back-to-back 100-yard games. And, oh, hey, there's Kyle Manungai as well with 13 carries and 81 yards. What did you think about the running game and what the Bears have been doing specifically to open things up?
It's really gratifying to see that version of Ben Johnson, what we thought was there, what we had seen in Detroit, what I was so encouraged by in the Bears hiring him and him calling the offense, is that he seemed to be one of the play callers in the sport that got it. And I've had so much frustration in the years of covering the Bears in this town to see so many play callers view success through the lens of how the quarterback can beat the defense with his arm. What can we do to win the game from the pocket? And it's not like the Bears have been, you know, drafting these big statues at quarterback, but whether it was Mitchell Trubisky or Justin Fields, frequently those quarterbacks were put in position just to try and carve the defense up from the pocket. So Ben Johnson was proposed to be different because he would have balance, run to pass, the pocket would move, taking pressure off his QB and his O-line, and that's precisely who he's been so far in his time as Bears head coach and offensive play caller. And what really impresses me coming out of the bye week the last couple of games here is that not only is there the personnel adjustment, getting Theo Benedict into the lineup has definitively been beneficial to the run game with the force that he applies, the aggression that he plays the game with. It gets him in some trouble here and there where his pad level is so good, where he hugs his head into the offensive guard, into the interior defensive line, and he's able to watch the pile. He's able to get backdoored on that sometimes as well from some of the crafty moves and front seven defenders. Those are the types of things that Theo Bettis did as he plays more football, will continue to grow and mature from, hopefully. But the run game has enhanced also schematically. Like, look at yesterday's game. One of the things the Bears ended up doing, where they have some gap scheme in their run game, they've got some zone scheme in their run game, meaning sometimes you get angle blocks and pullers, sometimes you get the O-line working in unison. Yesterday, as opposed to going like a wide stretch zone, you saw where DeAndre Swift, the Bears offensively went to almost like a mid-zone kind of look, where the O-line still moves laterally in unison, but it's with more of a surge toward the defense. And in doing that, because Chase Young was so effectively flying up the field into the Bears' backfield, they ended up utilizing that against the Saints, where some of those cutback lanes that were there for DeAndre Swift We're just inside of Chase Young, where he starts and presses the hole for a moment, cuts it back against the grain right inside of Chase Young as he's flying up the field because he's in pass rush mode so frequently. And when he's got to be a run defender, he doesn't always chase the ball with urgency trying to put his body on the line for it. That's just kind of where Chase Young is at this point in his career. The Bears' run game capitalized on that. So they were moving the point of attack with some duo and some combo schemes and power. You get a little double on the front side and pull it coming from back. But also that zone scheme, DeAndre Swift did a more effective job, and Kyle Manungai did this a lot. You know, he did it at Rutgers as well, but he's accustomed to having that slasher mentality where he's pretty much a one-cut back and then looks for those opportunities to get north and south. And Swift has really – you can tell Eric Bieniemy's putting the work in to make sure he recognizes you can just run through the smoke. Even if the hole doesn't immediately declare itself as you approach the line of scrimmage, just trust it. Give it time, and it'll appear almost like the – the reason I use that term is something like Days of Thunder. Remember the Days of Thunder where Tom Cruise is behind the wheel and it's all smoky and he's recovering from the car crash and he's not sure if he can drive through. And then who was it? Robert Duvall is just in his ear to you. Just trust it, Cole. I'm here with you, Cole. Just trust it. And Cole drives through the smoke and then there he is and he feels free. That's pretty much where DeAndre Swift is now.
I haven't seen Days of Thunder, so I don't
at
understand.
All? Ever?
No, no.
Oh,
Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford stars in Days of Thunder, actually. Not Robert Duvall. So now you'll see.
Wait a minute. Harrison Ford is in Days of Thunder?
I see what you're doing now, Ant.
Yeah. Race your car, for crying out loud. Stop going at ovals. You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. We have so much more with Anthony Heron, including movie clips that we'll share with Anthony. Right. But no, really, we do need to celebrate some of the things, because I know some people do want a celebration today. So we will celebrate some of the occurrences.
You're going to be drag kicking and screaming into the zone.
No, we are celebrating that Bears defense because things are happening.
We got victory chicken coming.
Do have victory chicken coming. And we got a Bears defense to celebrate next with Anthony Heron. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody. You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Grody, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
You know, I think this game really started and finished there with our defense. They just did a phenomenal job throughout.
Rattler under pressure. Ball is out. He fumbled, and it's recovered by Chicago. Montez Sweat able to jar that loose.
So that's Montez. When you look at those critical numbers, it was 44 yards rushing. I saw four sacks and four turnovers.
Rattler with pressure coming, and Rattler is going to go down. Four-man pressure in trouble in the third sack of the day. Jaquan Brisker.
Third and nine. Pressure coming again. It's picked up. Rattler intercepted. Picked off by Deshaun Wright.
Credit to Dennis Allen and his crew one more time. They're doing a great job getting us the ball on offense with great field position, and it certainly gives us a ton of momentum in games like that.
This Bears defense
is absolutely dominating. Rattler throws. It's deflected and intercepted by Edmonds. Dennis Allen, yeah, he's fired up.
They just did an awesome job.
The talk coming into this game was all about the offense. Caleb Williams, you know, how is this offense going to continue to grow? I mean, this defense is stealing the show right now.
Dennis Allen stealing my show!
Sometimes you ain't good enough for somewhere else.
Freeze.
That's perfectly fine.
Yes, sir.
I need him then, and I don't need him now.
How come he don't want me, man?
Awesome. Thank you. The Bears.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We have got you full boat today. We're here until 6 o'clock. There's a lot to get done on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. And great clips. Matt Forte is going to join us. DeAndre Swift is getting a lot of green grass, and he is taking advantage of it. We will talk with Matt about that and other things. Jason Leisure will join us after talking with Ben Johnson and everyone else up at Hallis Hall. The crew is back together and safe. Victory Chicken was brought in by Alex today, which was outstanding.
The chickens come home to roost.
Yeah,
that's where they came from.
Roost chicken was really good.
They came from a place called Roost, and they came home to roost, Dan Hampton.
Shout out to him.
Come home to roost.
Tanny is also here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello. Alex Kuhn finally has provided value.
You know,
show.
That's the third time you said that today.
I know. I thought maybe this would be the first time that I'd say it here, but I enjoyed it and I giggled at it too much and I said it twice before. I'm sorry, but I love you. And it was just the appropriate joke. That's real. That's the highest quality Victory Chicken we've had in a long time.
I would agree. That was pretty solid what we had there. And then the choices of options, if you wanted to take it up a level, if you wanted to go hot ones a little bit and take it up a level. Yeah. But just the regular pieces already, you know, little tasty.
And
I
taste
like
the biscuit.
Yeah.
Taste the goodness of the biscuit.
I mean, the goodness of the biscuit was palpable. And we should be hanging out, man. We should be hanging out. We should be happy about the Bears being what they are, at least for right now. Because look, man, I do gratitude lists every morning, Lawrence. And on my gratitude list, I realized that I needed to put the Bears. I put down that they are good, comma, and they are interesting. They are interesting. There is a lot of conversational meat on the Bears' bone to discuss.
There's a lot there for sure. I tend to look at it this way. Are you giving yourself a chance to be a playoff team? And the answer to that question is yes. That's what they're doing. In trying to look at this as objectively as possible, I look at the framework of what Detroit's offense was. And go, what did Ben like to do? Ben loved to run the ball. And yeah, he had a quarterback who threw for over 4,000 yards. But he loved to run the ball to set up all of that stuff. So it's important that the Bears have a run game. They're also now a defense, and I can't wait till we talk about this more in depth, about DA. Now that you've got more of the healthy pieces back. You don't have everyone. Jalen's gone for a while, but you got a lot of healthy Bears defenders that you needed to see used. And DA is like, I got Brisker.
For sure.
And I've got Kyler. I've got two guys that are really good at blitzing. I'm going to send them, or I'm going to make it look like I'm sending them. And that's fun. You have a defense that's taking the ball away. Some people say that that's just luck. I lived it for a big portion of my career. I know that you have to at least drill it. And it wasn't a surprise that the teams that drilled the importance of the takeaway, they usually led in those categories. So if this is what Al Harris is bringing to DA and what DA is bringing to the rest of the defense, I am here for it. Does it seem familiar? Yes. Was I concerned about what I saw from the quarterback yesterday? Yes.
Well, this is your identity right now.
It is.
This is who you are. They came out at the start of the game and ran the ball with DeAndre Swift under center. And I said to myself, yeah, that's what they're trying to establish, and that's who they are. And that's what he figured out at the bye with this offensive line. And they ran the same play over and over and over again. inside zone runs and some outside zone runs, but lots of inside zone runs, man. And I kept thinking about what Olin said after the win against Washington. I'm seeing things that are repeatable, he said, in terms of how they can win some games. Then there they were yesterday doing it. Okay, so this is who you are. How many times have I imagined that a young quarterback would be given the opportunity to grow on a team that runs the hell out of the ball and plays great defense? That's, in a lot of ways, the ideal situation for a young quarterback to grow. It's what Brady had at the beginning with Belichick when they ran it with Antoine Smith 30 times a game. And Brady eventually developed into what he was, but he didn't have to do it right from the get-go. Maybe that opportunity is going to present itself here because it has to, possibly. But either way, damn good defense and a running game. While we can wait for the young quarterback to get fully comfortable with everything that Ben Johnson wants to do, that's okay by me for a while.
It's okay for a while. And I do wonder if, because Caleb is a guy that likes to have some things to rage against. He needs that. He's got a little bit of the Jordan, I might even make some stuff up to rail against stuff. So last week you had that. Like you had the Troy Aikman stuff, and you're like, oh, yeah, the guy that thinks that I stole his job, but I was way better than him, he's coming in here? Oh, I'm going to show him. I'm going to show that little dude what's up. And I think the little dude was like, I'm going to show him what's up. And then we had two quarterbacks that didn't do nothing yesterday.
You hated that quality of quarterback play.
It was offensive.
It was driving you crazy in the group thread. Yeah, you were like, this is unpleasant. But then you get to the end of that game, and you're like, man, look at that. They ran the hell out of it. Like, that part was pleasant.
Let me give you something as someone who is a huge Ben Johnson fan, and you look for all the things that Ben Johnson is and can be. Like, what did you call him? A rock star?
Superstar. Because and I'm only emboldened by that yesterday. He did something that I really didn't like yesterday. We'll talk about that at some point. But him leaning on what they can do is a beautiful thing.
That's the part. That's the part right there.
Yep.
This isn't working. Okay. Now I have to figure out what does work. And I would suggest, and they put it away yesterday, I would suggest the smoke route against a wide nine technique, you might want to put that away for a while.
This is the worst kind of quarterbacking.
Because Chase Young was this close to having two pick sixes yesterday off of that.
Yeah.
But they said, this isn't working, we'll go away from that.
Yeah, let's not do that, shall we?
And then when it looked like Caleb couldn't quite calibrate it as well, he's like, let's run it, let's go. And I heard Big Ant talking about it, and we can talk with Matt Forte about this, that what they were doing was kind of mid-zone stuff with DeAndre Swift yesterday, and I thought it worked really, really well. The conga line is going, and then he's like, oh, I got the spot right there. There's my cutback.
Yeah, because you heard me scuffling to say whether it's inside zone or outside zone, because it's kind of mid, but it was the same scheme again and again and again.
And
for Manungai, too, sometimes.
Some people call what they do outside zone, and it's actually wide zone, but it all depends on like who you talk to and how they view it. But I was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of interesting that Big Ann said that, because I was trying to figure it out too yesterday. I was like, that doesn't seem like what we've seen, but it was effective and they stuck with it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Lawrence, is that he pivoted at the bye to what he realized they could do. And now that's what they're doing, and they're running the hell out of the ball. And it's an acknowledgement of some limitations. It's an acknowledgement of where they are, and that's okay. That's okay. And I got to give Ben Johnson the credit. This isn't the team he thought he was going to have. This is not the team he thought he was going to have. And he was asked about that after the game. But before that, let's go back to the introductory presser. You remember what he said about turnovers?
Yes.
It was kind of just a little reference, because what he actually believes
it was,
now.
It was a snarky one, too.
It was a snarky one, because this whole league has always believed that turnover margin, that defines whether you win or not. And he's like, no, man, I'm a modern offensive coach. I'm a forward thinker. It's about quarterback play. This is from the introductory press conference of Ben Johnson.
It's clear that modern football in the NFL is quarterback driven. That is no secret. You can look at analytics. Right now, quarterback success is a higher predictor of winning and losing than turnover ratio, which it's been for 20 plus years. Okay, that's changed.
So he expounded on that later, weeks, but we talked about it a lot at the time. It's not about turnover margin, it's about quarterback play. Well, you're 4-2 on the strength of turnover margin, Ben. How do you feel about your team?
Yeah.
But this is not the team he thought he was going to have. Couldn't you see it on his face? Listen to this. After the game, he's asked about offensive ups and downs, right? Where are you right now as an offense? And he does the thing with his hand to show the wave, the up and the down. Here's Ben after the game on that.
Yeah, up and down. So that's what we've looked like. We haven't hit our stride yet offensively. We're capable of a lot more. We have very talented individuals. I feel strongly in our coaching staff, but we're not complementing our defense on a regular basis. With the number of turnovers we've had over the last four games, we should be able to turn those into more points.
The up and down mechanic or the wave mechanic morphed into pop and lock right here in the studio.
As it should.
As it should.
I mean, come on. RIP to Ozone.
So he's not thrilled with where they are. Offense, he's a little grumpy about where the offense is and what he has to do, but that's what he's got to do, and he's winning games.
Can I just also just throw this out there for all of us inside of sports, and that counts for you, the fan, too. You don't have to throw away old stuff to bolster new stuff. You can put them together. You don't have to throw away a model that has worked for decades in the NFL of turnover ratio being a really good indicator of who won the game.
I mean, turnovers are good. Or takeaways, as Dennis Allen demands, call them takeaways, I mean, not turnovers.
That's what Lovie Smith demanded, too. You don't have to be like, oh, that's not what it is. It can be all of those things. You should be about marrying concepts here to talk about the importance of all of the stuff that you need to win a football game.
You know what that sounds like? It sounds like, yeah, it's about analytics now. It's not about scouting, you know?
And it's about both.
Of course it is. That's why you probably shouldn't fire as much of your scouting staff as you did, but that's another conversation.
I don't want to have that conversation.
Me neither.
I wish... I'll just take a 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I do wish that we would have some time at some point this week to find all of the Cubs fans that found their way to being Dodgers fans on Saturday. Because the pettiness has been relentless and it has been hilarious.
It's unseemly.
It is outstanding. The obvious shirt where Milwaukee is spelled with four L's in a row. Come on.
Yeah. I'd also like to do a 4-hour show on Shohei Ohtani's night.
Yeah, the greatest performance in baseball history.
It's certainly the greatest postseason performance.
And maybe the greatest performance in sports history.
Yeah. How about Rick Wise with the no-hitter and two homers? That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Shohei had three.
Yeah, he did, but he only threw six innings.
And he struck out 10.
But again, we're not doing that show today.
All right, we'll leave that show for later on in the week. But let's talk with you about this. 312-644-6767. Is it Back to the Future? Are you okay with the Bears' identity being run the football and take away the ball on defense?
Yeah, man, I'm good with that, and I got to give Caleb till Thanksgiving as we watch the nonlinear development.
I think that you give him even maybe more than that. But I might be on an island on that, and that's weird. That's a weird place for me to be, that I'm like, he might need more than Thanksgiving to get it right. And people are like, oh, no, that's too much time. I guarantee you that we are going to get the text message in the next few weeks. Caleb's played 27 games. He should be a finished product by now. And I'm like, that's not how it works. It's not how it's ever worked. There's regression going on all the way around football.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
This hour is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911.
Dan Wiederer, Bears reporter and senior writer for The Athletic.
You're going to be relying on a lot of young players, guys that have to materialize into who they thought they were.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
We'll mention this mainly because Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
Host of the Take the North podcast.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Wiederer.
Thanks, Coach. We'll go first to Dan Wiederer.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Weezy! We love Weezy. Welcome back into the Raheemy Harris and Grody Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Layla has the day off today. We will be back at full strength tomorrow when Layla does return. This segment with Dan Wiederer is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7, 1-833-PLUM-911. What up, Weezy? How are you, sir?
I'm good. Grody, we've been stacking together these Victory Mondays or Victory Tuesdays here for more than a month, and we'll see if the Bears can keep this streak going and attach some more relevance to the season, which has suddenly got a little bit more promise than we expected.
Well, I didn't necessarily expect to be playing off of something that is in your open, and that is the famous Dennis Green and the Bears are who we thought they were, but I am going to. Are we starting to figure out who the Bears are? Is there an identity growing? Are the Bears running in defense a familiar formula? Is there an identity for this team, dear Weedsy?
Well, there is an identity forming, and I think it starts, Grody, with a level of mental toughness that should be able to allow them to continue having success and building on the success that they've had. I don't think any of us expect them to push this winning streak up to 10 over the next 2 months, but I do think that there is a group here that has taken a bunch of different tests over the last month and passed them all. And I thought last week was a significant test in the sense that it was a short turnaround that taxes you physically, it taxes you mentally. You're also trying to get back up after a very emotional win on a Monday night stage against an opponent that comes in at 1-5 and struggling. And the fact that the Bears responded to that test, and granted, they could have ran away with that game much earlier had it not been for the end of the first half, the start of the second half. But I do think that there's a lot of promise in the way that they got themselves reset and ready to play football against an opponent that they should have beat and did beat without trailing.
So because my partner here, Mark Grody, wanted to go big picture first, I'm going to stay with that big picture and say this, that team that they're facing this week, it seems like it measures out to the next logical step of testing, right? You go back to last season. What I loved about the Bears schedule is that they went non-conference for so long and kind of built their way up. And then, of course, after the bye, we saw what happened after that trip across the pond. This time, they're going up against a team that we know is going to be better at running the football. So that whole, can you really stop the run thing, becomes a lot more self-evident depending on what happens in Baltimore this week, right?
Right. They've got a 5-time Pro Bowler in fullback Patrick Kikkaard, who hasn't played this week but might be back this week. And so that adds another level of power to that Ravens running game, which is going to be very difficult to stop. This is a now or never game for the Ravens. There's no way around it. I don't think any of us would have sat here back in the spring and said that the Bears would be 3 full games ahead of the Ravens when they were headed to Baltimore at this stage of October, but here we are. And so the Ravens have to respond to their own test. They're coming off a bye. Their injury problems that have been a problem through the first, 6 games of the season, they have an opportunity to be healthier this week. And so I think this is certainly if not the biggest test the Bears have faced, the second biggest following the Detroit game in week two. And we'll see if they're able to kind of get in there and show that they belong with some of these upper tier teams, even though the Ravens have struggled through the first month and a half.
It's Raheem Harris and Grody. We're talking to Dan Weider of The Athletic and of the Take the North podcast, and certainly talking about a Bears 26-14 win over the Saints here on The Score. Dan, what was the best part of the Bears defense in your opinion?
Well, I'll give you a specific play because I did think that the Mashaun Wright interception was the spark that the Bears needed. We talked, you know, in week two, the Bears lost that game on Monday night to the Vikings that slipped away from them. And it was like everybody was waiting for the spark and the spark never came. And then the game just slipped away. And yesterday's game was unfolding in a way where you're like, man, this is just sloppy. They're getting some prime field position. They're not cashing in on it. They're settling for field goals. It's a 6-0 game where if you let an opponent like the Saints hang around too long, you're going to create your own trouble. And then Nashawn Wright not only came up with the interception, but the big return. And then after the return, the Bears did what they did only once yesterday, which was turn one of those takeaways into a touchdown with a run-driven possession that DeAndre Swift ended up in the end zone with. And I just thought that was the moment, right, that kind of gave them the juice they needed to finish that game. Grody, this takeaway binge here, it's probably not sustainable at this level, but you certainly can sustain it at some level. And I think it's been very, very encouraging to see the defense play with that type of opportunistic mindset and just with the playmaking ability to get it done.
And Nashawn Wright, I know we talked about this on the podcast a little bit, but Nashawn Wright has been a very interesting character, I'll say, for the Bears. He is all of 6'4". He's a long dude. And it just, like, he hasn't, like, he's had his moments this year where he's been burned. He's made some crucial penalties, but he makes big plays. How do you describe Nashawn Wright for the Bears this year?
Yeah, like, and I had a chance to talk to him for the first time in early in training camp, and I just remember being struck by his gratitude for the opportunity, for you know, just having an understanding that he was reunited with Al Harris as his secondary coach, that he had a defensive coordinator who saw some gifts in him that he could utilize, and he was going to go ahead and maximize every bit of opportunity he had. Remember, Jalen Johnson was not ready when training camp began, and so Nashawn Wright stayed where he was during the spring, which was running with the ones, and he understood what was there demand-wise from him and what the Bears were going to need from him in coverage. And so, look, any cornerback in this league is going to have some difficulty at times and get beat for some big plays, and you just have to have that short memory and then make some big plays of your own. And we've had a few from Nashawn Wright here, whether it be the pick six in week one, the big fumble recovery that set up the game-winning drive in Washington, the spark play yesterday. And so you see a guy starting to put some of those skins on the wall, and it's encouraging to see because it's a player that was – you know, cast off in two other organizations and found an opportunity here, and it's maximized it. And you and I both know the secondary is going to have to stay strong. Tyreek Stevenson left that game with an injury yesterday, shoulder injury. We'll see where that stands this week. They're going to play a pretty high-powered offense in Baltimore, followed by a really good receiving core in Cincinnati. And so you better have full strength in that secondary, and the starters who are available better be able to make plays.
Dan, last week we were talking about Montez Sweat in a way where I felt like he finally kind of broke through a little bit at the end of the game against the Commanders with some big plays in a crucial situation. And then he starts this game off by setting the tone for all of the chaos that we saw the defense provide going up against a not good Saints team. Let's not make any bones about it. But what did you think about the Tez effect being back seemingly?
Well, look, you want splash plays, and you want them not only every game, but preferably every quarter if you can find them from guys who are paid as highly as Montez Sweat is to disrupt the quarterback. Spencer Rattler gave them a bit of a gift on that first turnover because he did not have two hands on the football while trying to navigate a muddy pocket, and Montez hit him on the right shoulder, and the ball came out, and Jervon Dexter was there to recover it. You need to commend Montez Sweat for those contributions and then tell him, okay, big fellow, what's next, right? Because that's what you are being paid to do at that position at that level. And so he's got to understand that's got to be a regular occurrence, that is how he's being compensated, and that's where the expectations go with him. It's been good the last couple of weeks to see him make some of those impact plays that get the defense moving in the right direction, and now you just want to see that continue in week 8, week 9, week 10, all the way through the end of December and January so that you have a chance to be playing as much meaningful football as possible within this season.
Weedsy, Caleb Williams, 15 of 26, 172 yards and a pick. What did you think of his performance? And you and I were both in the Caleb press conference. What did you get out of that?
Layered here, Mark. It really is. And I'm through a quarter and a half of the rewatch today. And it just, for the first time all year, Caleb looked uncomfortable for almost the entire game. And you can see it almost on every drive where he's not quite settled in at any point during that football game on Sunday. And it's not a surprise that his passing yards total was a season low, that his passer rating was a season low, that he threw a bad interception in the first half, that he just seemed to struggle. By his own admission, he sort of passed up some opportunities to scramble for production in exchange for trying to make a play happen by running around behind the line of scrimmage. And I think there were probably two or three instances where we watched him kind of trying to turn a play into a circus, and we're kind of just like, hey, man, either get rid of the ball or do something else, because this is just getting a little bit wild, and you don't want to do that too often and for too long. I think his play on Sunday was a little bit concerning, and I think particularly when you talk about some of the mistakes, and I know Drew Dahlman took responsibility for some of the quarterback center exchange issues, but you've got to be much cleaner than that, particularly when you're going into the teeth of a schedule here over the next six games that are going to require higher level quarterback play. Did not think it was Caleb's best moment yesterday. We'll see how he responds this week.
Do you think, by the way, that the reason that maybe he's not taking the gimmies when it comes to using his feet, that it's kind of been drilled into him, because we've heard him utter it many times, get the ball to your playmakers?
There's just a feel thing here, and Caleb's been really good up until yesterday of understanding when to take off with his legs and get positive yards and then reset and regroup from there. I don't know what malfunctioned yesterday and why he sort of seemed hell-bent on making plays with his arm. You know, we talked forever during the Justin Fields era that all the tuck and run highlights were terrific, but eventually he had to become more of a scramble and throw guy, you know, and a guy that could make plays on the move with his arm, and he never really could get there. Caleb is kind of in the hybrid mold of being able to do both, and he just didn't have the right balance of it yesterday. We'll see how the Bears kind of correct that and grade it as they go forward. But that was one of many issues yesterday that sort of popped up that left you kind of scratching your head and saying, as Ben said after the game, it's always easier to coach harder after a win. And I think the head coach said it was going to be a truth-telling Monday up at Hallis Hall. We'll hear some of that truth later this afternoon when we're up there.
Joined by Dan Weider, the senior writer at The Athletic, covering the Bears, also co-host of the Take the North podcast.
Dan.
Yeah, so Dan, I want to know about this running attack as you see it, because I had to point out to Mark that they're not just good, that they're seventh in the league right now in rushing yards per game after finishing bottom 10 last year in that same category. Do you feel like this offense has turned the corner as far as establishing that Ben Johnson pound and ground running game?
Well, what I love about Ben is that, you know, like when he was hired here in January, we all knew the production in Detroit, and a lot of people had this impression that it was just all razzle dazzle and it was creativity and artistry and gimmick plays at times. But he is such a devoted believer of having a ground game that can carry you. And the ground game had to carry them yesterday. Again, with the struggles that the quarterback was having, you had to be able to lean on that. And the fact that they went into the bye week intent on finding solutions and came out of the bye week with solutions is incredibly encouraging. It tells you about the direction of this coaching staff. It tells you about their ability to make simple fixes, right? And not have to reinvent the wheel, but then just show guys, hey, if we can get our combinations cleaned up here, if we can get our perimeter blocking better here, if we can create a little crease here for DeAndre Swift, he's going to find it. And the fact that DeAndre Swift has had two incredible games is very encouraging. The fact that Kyle Manungai was a really good compliment yesterday was encouraging. And so that's just it's a performance you have to build on, because they leaned on those guys up front. They leaned on their backs, and all those guys responded in a way that gives you a belief that that's a huge part of your offense going forward. Whereas 3 weeks ago, we were like, what's wrong with the running game?
This segment with Dan Weider is sponsored by Great Clips. It's going to be great. It is Raheemy Harrison Grody on the score. Lails has the day off. Layla will return to us tomorrow. Just looking at a couple of the rookies here, Dan, and, you know, Ben has been taking advantage of, you know, his veterans, it feels like, more than ever right now. But Colson Loveland, 3 catches for 24 yards. Luther Burden had 1 catch for 22 yards. And I guess we could package in Cole Kmet as well if we're going to do a tight ends motif. 1 catch for 16 yards. Those are 3 guys who we all I think in some cases expected to be a bigger part of the offense, and certainly expect in the future for them to all be part of it as well. Do you think this is just kind of a trust issue right now in terms of what Ben Johnson is trying to do and get those guys the ball?
Look, the offense has got a lot of wrinkles to get ironed out here as they go forward. The passing game in particular needs to be more consistent. It needs to be more reliable. I never expected Burden to be a major impact player this year just because of the way that, that receiving core pecking order was set up and the fact that he missed a lot of time during the spring and early summer and had to play catch up in a lot of ways. And so he'll find his moments. He'll find his moments to make splashes, and they'll keep him going there. By the way, I just watched the Colston Loveland offensive pass interference penalty not long before I came on here. I'll write the letter to the league office for Colston, because I don't know what you're supposed to do there to avoid a flag being thrown on you. It was a very iffy play call there that you know, and the Bears have been on the wrong end of a few of those over the last, you know, 8 days here. And they're going to have to figure that out. But you would like to see the tight ends unlocked more in the passing game. And I think that's an answer that Ben's going to be searching for. We saw him find answers to unlock the running game. Maybe that's the next step here, is finding a way to get their tight ends more involved in the passing game. Cole Kmet, as you mentioned, left the game with a back injury yesterday. So his status going forward is going to be worth monitoring as this week unfolds, because if he's not available, then that changes a little bit of the dynamics of what you're going to be doing with Loveland and Durham Smythe.
I just want to go back to this week, because it seems like the most pivotal week of the season so far. And maybe we'll say this every week because they're on a winning streak right now, right? But literally what this team is capable of, in my opinion, hinges on whether or not they can go to Baltimore. They don't necessarily have to win the game, but they have to show that, hey, we're playing on these bad teams, but we can also do it against teams that we're supposed to challenge for something this year.
So you rewind yourself to middle of September and you saw a similar game on the schedule with the division champion Lions in their building. And you were like, okay, again, like you just said, Marshall, you don't have to go and necessarily win the football game, but you have to show that you can be really competitive and locked in for a game against a really good opponent. And that game in week two was a disaster. The Bears lost by 30 plus points. And we all left that building going, oh God, who can take more of this? They've obviously found their stride since. They haven't lost since. And now you get another huge test against a team that's got flaws. Don't get me wrong. Like, they're going to be healthier. They're going to be hungry. There's going to be a lot of things working in the favor of the Ravens, but they are vulnerable, particularly on the back end of their defense. And so one thing I've loved about this coaching staff with Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen at the forefront is they've been really, really good to this point in year one of finding answers that are opponent specific. And so they've got another puzzle to put together this week with the Ravens. We'll see if they can put it together successfully. And I do think you're right. Like, this is a huge measuring stick game against a team that's been a Super Bowl contender for the last 3 or 4 years. And so this is a good test to take at this point on your schedule.
Dan, I know the presser is coming up in a little bit over an hour with Ben Johnson. How many questions do you have ready for the head coach? 19 to 23 or so? What do you got?
How many of you think I can get off today, Grody? I've got a long list. I'm starting to prioritize, you know, the top of the list. Can I get 3 or 4 off?
Do you like to go later? Because then some of your questions are asked by other reporters, and then you can figure out which question might not get asked by another reporter.
Good question. I like that.
I like to hit lead off, Marshall.
Okay.
And then I like to get greedy. I like to try to get a third and fourth at bat if I can, and we'll see what's available to me today. We're back in person today, Grody. It was a home game yesterday, so we get to go up at Halas Hall. That makes it easier. It's really hard to unmute yourself on Zoom when the mute function is locked by the Bears. And so we'll see if I can get a little aggressive today and get some questions.
Get those answers.
Sometimes it's better that we're organized and we're not all talking over each other, but it does preclude us from getting carried away with our follow-ups. Dan, you're the best. Keep up the good work on that podcast you're doing.
Appreciate you guys. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Dan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.